Wow, such a sweet service. I mean, I was sitting there listening to so many of our brothers and sisters boast in the Lord, and my mind was turning toward Psalm 70, verse 4. I want to read this to you for a second. David writes, "Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified." I mean, how sweet is that to think that, you know, as we're hearing these testimonies, we're hearing, as Smed just mentioned, I mean, this is something that only God could do. You know, it's one thing to hear about somebody maybe born into a religious home or a false religion or no religion or biblical Christianity, and then maybe making some changes and maybe changing behaviors or adopting some convictions. And then it's another thing to hear of eight people spiritually dead, made alive in a regenerative way, just supernatural power on display. Only God gets glory for something like spiritual salvation. And so it's just so sweet. And I want to thank everybody who testified. Thank you for boasting in Christ. You know, it's interesting when God saves, especially in our culture, it's kind of, well, it's easy to almost view that as something that just pertains to you. We have a society that really imbibes a rugged individualism. And there's something profound about the way God has designed the church, the way he's purchased the church, the way he's created the church, for individuals who are saved by God's grace to live in community with one another. And it's important to remember that. We're going to have the privilege here this morning of welcoming 31 souls into the membership at Grace Bible Church. And that's a profound reality, and it's a profound responsibility. And I want to just remind you of a few facts, and for some, this might be a new and important thought, that church membership, you know, membership is not a biblical term, but it's absolutely a biblical doctrine. And what's happening here is we have saints who are obeying the command to believe the gospel. Because you remember, the first time the gospel was preached in the dawn of the church age would have been Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. And he says, repent and be each one of you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and separate yourself or be saved from a perverse culture. So responding to the gospel is a separation from a perverse culture, an unbelieving world, and a joining oneself to the church. And so it's actually really important to remember that as we think about baptism, that this is, it's not, conversion isn't just, great, I got saved and now I've got insurance about eternity. It's, no, there's been an absolute transferal of identity from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. I'm going to live in community with the people of God. This is my family. We have the same spiritual DNA. And I want to read to you a verse that explains this in a really helpful way. I'm very fond of the way Paul introduces the concept in his first epistle to the Corinthians. And I'm just going to read to you chapter 1, verse 2. And I want you to listen to how Paul describes the church, and particularly those who are in the church. Listen to this verse. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And so in one verse, you have the reality that, first of all, people who are a part of the church are those who have been sanctified in a positional sense, and they are saints by calling, not saints because they've arrived at a position of holiness yet, but they are saints here on earth because God has made them holy. And he starts by saying this to the church that is at Corinth. So in other words, as Paul thinks about church, he doesn't think about a bunch of rogue Lone Ranger Christians going around doing their own thing. He thinks, man, we've got saints at Corinth because they're part of the church that's at Corinth. And there's a church there, and they're recognized as members of that church, part of that church. And they, along with all of the saints in every place where the people of God gather, are saints who have been called. And so It's very helpful to remember that. Of course, regeneration happens before church membership would be recognized in an external official capacity like it is now. These people have been regenerated and are walking with Christ and want to testify to that. Some just testified that in their baptism, and some have moved here and they've already been baptized and they want to be part of the people of God. But the New Testament doesn't really recognize Lone Ranger Christians running around doing their own thing. Christians identify with the people of God. And so that's what's so sweet about church membership as the biblical side of church membership. And before I read this list of names, I want to remind you who are members, remember, this is every bit our responsibility. You know, these dear saints, these brothers and sisters in Christ are joining themselves to this body. And so, you know, I just try to remind myself whenever I do a membership interview, when we pray, I just remember, pray for us as a church that we would be the body of Christ to these individuals.